No, this evening. You know what I meant. It's just good to be here. Let's be praying for Brother Scott. He called me a minute ago and said an infection for a few days. He's just not feeling good. And so I told him we'd want to mention him. The way he says it, he said, "Oh, you don't have to say anything." I said, "I want to say something." He's worthy to be spoken of. Be praying for all those in our midst that going through not only physical, all types of trials. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I've had this verse of Scripture on my mind for a few days. And I pray if I've had it on my mind and I've done some reading on it, praying about it, I pray the Lord would bless it. Verse 10, 2 Peter 1, 10. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Let's pray together. Our Father, for the sake of your only begotten Son, He who has come from you, the Word Himself, God in flesh, human flesh, for His sake, for His honor, we ask You to bless the Word tonight to our understanding. Lord, this evening that we might be comforted, this is Your command to Your preachers to comfort Your people. Comfort us. By Your Spirit, bless this Word, we ask, for Christ's sake. Amen. Above all things, that's what He said. Wherefore the rather, above all things, brethren, fellow believers, give diligence. Be prompt, earnest, make haste, and endeavor to make, that is, to act or to perform, your calling and divine selection. Make that sure. That is, make that which you stand upon, make it stable, make it sure. If you do these things, if you make or if you act or perform, I'm just telling you what these words mean, these things, you shall not at all stumble. I've entitled this message this evening, "These Things." There is written within the heart of every believer, that new heart, that new man, that new creation, that creation that is created in righteousness, the union of the Lord Jesus Christ united with His everlastingly loved object of mercy. That's just one with Christ. If Christ be formed in you, This is so amazing when I just read those things and understand something of what it's saying. I can understand, I can observe, I can perceive, just seeing something of myself, that which is in Adam. The disrespect, the wayward thinking. But that new creation, born from above, the new man, the new birth, joined and united in what the Scripture describes as a new man, a new creature. If any man be a new creature, within every new creature, there is a desire, a longing to make his calling and election stable, sure. And it's an earnest desire. He wants to know. I promise you, those of us, those of you who have sat under the gospel for years and years and years, years. You hear something like this, make your calling and election sure, and you know what you think? I want to hear what Scripture's got to say about this. Isn't that so? That's exactly what you're thinking. That's what I'm thinking. I want to know. Tell me, I've said before, you tell me one more time. You tell me one more time how the Lord has put away my guilt. Tell me one more time. Tell me what Scripture says about salvation. Tell me what the Scripture says about making your calling and election sure. Oh, thanks be unto God, our merciful God, who has, by His Holy Spirit, given us a record. He's told us in this Scripture right here what the absolute surety of our foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ is, and how it's manifested. And it is manifested. I'm telling you, if you could not give diligence to make your calling and election sure, the Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, would never have written that. But you can. Give diligence. Be earnest about it. Sincere about it. If you do these things, that's what he said in verse 10. If you do these things. But I got to reading that passage of Scripture, starting with the first verse and up through verse 10. I noticed how many times something was mentioned basically like that. Look at verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things pertaining unto life and godliness. Whenever you read something like that, these things, all things, you want to know, what is the Scriptures saying? What's it talking about? These things. These fruits, the evidence of our justification before God. If He has said that we're justified freely, and I understand that justification is the declaration by God Almighty that the acts that they hate, that they perform, Paul the Apostle said, there is in me no good thing. I see in me. I know there is. And to know that when I sin, and I know I do, if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. But to read that the Scripture declares that I am justified before the law, that the guilt of that which I find myself performing, that God will not impute that to me. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute, charge to his account, iniquity. Whenever I find that there's some evidences of justification before God, I want to know the fruit, the effects. What are these things? How do I know what they are? Well, I can tell you this. In verse 3, I can tell you something about them. These things are things that pertain to life and godliness. Look at that. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto spiritual life and godly behavior. A believer acts like a believer. He walks after Christ. He longs after Christ. He hungers after Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, is life. For me to live, for me to live is Christ. I'll get it right in a minute. Look at verse 4. These things, they're exceeding great and precious promises that are given unto us. Given, if this is not something that I've earned. It's certainly not something I deserved. They're promises given. But the beauty of that word promise, I've read that verse of Scripture I don't know how many times, and I saw something today I'd never seen before with that word. I find myself wanting to look up words. I want to know what that word means. Tell me what. Promise. Exceeding great and precious assurances. That's what it means. Assurances. Promises. Assurances by God Almighty to His people. It's God's profession of the assurance of them being able to know where they stand with Him. Verse 4 says that we might be partakers at these, by these, by these things, these precious things, we might be partakers of the divine nature which have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. By these professions of assurance, these great promises from God, a believer understands his association with the Lord of glory. And it's through the knowledge of who He is. God has given some great promises, assurances. Okay. What are they? Tell me what the Scripture has got to say. Peter said, give diligence. Make your calling and election sure. The assurance, the evidence of my association in mercy, in grace with Almighty God is summed up in one great, exceedingly great, and precious gift, whereby you might know. Here is the absolute number one gift from Almighty God that is an assurance to His people that Almighty God has established a merciful and compassionate relationship with them before the foundation of the world. Here it is. Faith. Faith. Look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Like precious faith. What is the evidence that Almighty God has shown mercy? When you make your calling and election sure, if it's going to be founded upon the rock of ages, The foundation that does not move. What is it? Here it is. You believe God. You believe God. Faith. Like precious faith. Not temporary faith. Not faith that doesn't endure to the end. Sustaining. It's a gift. It's a promise. It's an assurance. It's given unto you. Faith by which a man or woman comes to Christ and they trust Him and they know Him and they live upon Him. And it's a faith that works by love. You follow after Him. You love His commandments. You love His Word. You love His direction. His commandments are not grievous. That which is revealed within these Scriptures, you see it, you love it, you believe Him, you long after Him, you fellowship with Him, you talk to Him, your heart is drawn out toward Him. It's personal. Precious faith. Why? Because the object of that faith is precious. There's no other faith like this. It's given from heaven. From the same source. It's like precious faith. The faith by which I believe God is the faith by which every believer in this congregation tonight believes God. It's like precious faith. And Peter said it's obtained through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Or it's obtained, the literal of that is through our God and Savior. Jesus Christ. How is it obtained? It's through His righteousness. He earned that righteousness imputed to everyone that believes. He bought that privilege. The privilege for me to believe God tonight cost the blood of Christ. Like precious faith. The righteousness of our Lord and Savior by that power of Almighty God. God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when His divine power opens our understanding, that's when we realize faith has been given. Until Almighty God imparts life, there's no true faith. It's a nominal faith. There's a lot of things that a man can believe without true saving faith. I've said before, demons believe. That's what Scripture says. Demons believe. But I'll tell you this, they don't believe that Christ died for them. They don't believe that He's their substitute. They don't believe He's their representative. They weren't chosen in Him. They're not His bride. They believe that He is Jesus Christ. They believe that. There is a nominal belief. There's a head belief. But just like precious faith, that is the assurance. That is the promise. As His divine power hath given unto us all things pertain to life and godliness. That promise, that assurance. I'm telling you, you wake up in the middle of the night and Almighty God has given you a heart to believe Him. That is a great promise and assurance. I know that for every believer, they've experienced the joy and the privilege to be able to just talk with Him in the middle of the night. And the wonder, Bob, that He'll hear me. He hears me. Man, there's been times that I've thought to myself, of all the people I know there's a remnant. I know it's a small remnant, but I'm telling you, it's a number that no man can number. But that God Almighty would have time to hear my cry. I think about when Hezekiah prayed. Prophet says, the Lord's heard your prayer. Man, that's come back to my mind before. And I said, Lord, that you would hear me. That you would give me an audience. Do you know that's a great promise? That's assurance. Our God is a mighty God. But the Scripture says there's something else. There's some evidences that's going to go with what is the great evidence. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That faith is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's given unto you to believe. Faith. But then I got to thinking about this. How do I know that my faith is true saving faith? Like I said, I know, Rob, I know the demons believe. What is the faith? Faith, it's the evidence. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. But what is it? What's the evidence of faith? Faith is that great assurance. Faith is that great promise. But what's the evidence? Well, here it is. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence while you're making that calling and election sure, add to your faith. Now let me just stop right here. I'm just going to go over those words very quickly and then we're going to observe the Lord's table. Faith is that great promise. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Has the Lord given you a heart? This is true saving faith. Number one, true saving faith absolutely will not look to the person that's believing for anything that I've done to merit my salvation before God. Faith does not. Faith looks to Christ only. Faith looks away from self. It's like that song we sang last Sunday. When I look within, all is dark, wild, vile. Can I deem myself a child? Well, if I look inside, I don't have any hope. But true faith looks to Christ and trusts Him. Cast all of your hope on Him. Lord, like Peter, they'd been fishing. Lord came to him. He said, "You got any fish?" "No. No, we don't." He said, "Cast your net on the other side." Peter said, "Lord, we fished all night. We fished these waters all night. But at your word." Boy, I love that. At your word. Listen, this is enough right here. Can you see your name? Can you see? Can you show me tonight the Lamb's Book of Life? Can you show me tonight your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Now, you know there is a Lamb's Book of Life. Can you show me your name written? The answer is no. No. How do you know it's there? The Lord Himself has told me. You believe me. And you'll never fall. It's enough that I can believe God. Now you show me in the Scriptures one more thing that the Scripture sets forth that is the evidence of salvation and regeneration show me one more. There's not another one in there. What must I do, Paul, to be... What's the evidence? What is the evidence of salvation? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Period. Nothing else. Nothing else. What's the evidence of that faith? What is evidence of faith? Add to your faith. Verse 5. There's another word that I checked on today. You know, if I were to read that in light of free will, false religion, I would assume that that word add right there means something obviously that I need to do. Obviously, according to my understanding, there must be a few other things that I'm going to have to perfect that faith with. Surely, according to this scripture, that there's some works that are needful for me to perform, because it says for me to add to my faith. So evidently my faith must be a little bit lacking, and once I add, the word add means the supply given. The supply given. That word add right there has absolutely nothing to do with you. Nothing. Nothing. The supply given. This is not something that the believer contributes to faith. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad. Lord, thank you for not leaving it up to me to do something. These things that follow are the effects of like precious faith. Why? That you might make your calling and election sure. How do I make my calling and election sure unless the Spirit of God tells me what the effects of precious faith is? Here they are. Making your calling and election sure. Here's the evidences of the Holy Spirit's supply. The supply given. That's what it means, add. The supply. Here is the evidence of His supply that prove that the Lord Jesus Christ is all of my hope, that I believe Him by faith. Here it is. Besides this, giving all diligence, the supply given to your faith that has also been given is, number one, virtue. Stability. Firmness. Strength. That's what virtue means. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Only in Christ do I overcome. How am I going to add strength to my faith? I can't. But I'll tell you this, the Spirit of God supplies it. Why? Because I'm kept. That's how I'm kept. Virtue. Here's the second thing. Knowledge. Knowledge. Here's the definition of it. A seeking to know. A constant investigation. Knowledge. Now, I would have just assumed, Pat, that that just meant that, you know, knowledge. I've learned a few things. I've kind of picked up a few things. Here is the evidence. Making your calling and election sure. Here's the evidence of the first one, virtue. God's kept you. He's kept you believing. Second thing, knowledge, is there's a constant investigation. This word knowledge right here is from the base of the word to know in Philippians 3:10, where Paul says, that I might know Him, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Knowledge, it's not something, that word doesn't mean something that I've picked up and I've kind of retained and now I know. I know about election, I know about predestination, I know about God, I know about substitution. It's about, the word means a constant investigation. Do you think the Apostle Paul knew the Lord Jesus Christ? Sure he did. Sure he did. But he said, oh, that I might know Him. That I might know Him. I sit down. I come here. I sit down. And before I can start, if I'm honest with myself, just say, Lord, help me today. Guide my thoughts. Show me Christ. Holy Spirit, illuminate my understanding. Cause these Scriptures to be alive to me. Oh, that I might know Him. I might understand, perceive. That constant to seek, to investigate. That's the evidence of true faith. It hungers after Christ. Goes after. Number three, temperance. Self-control. It is the Holy Spirit's direction, strength in the ordering of the steps of His people. And it's evidenced by their desire to be kept from the power of sin. That's it. I don't want to be an embarrassment. I don't want to be an embarrassment. Number one, I don't want to be an embarrassment to Him. I don't want to be an embarrassment to you. Just the thought of doing something that would bring reproach on the name of our Savior and to be an embarrassment before you, His people, in this community, grieves me. If I'd go out and do something and just out of just arrogant pride and stuff, just get caught, find my name in the paper, I mean, that's bad enough. Just going home. There'd be times I'd go home. I told you this. I'll go home at night after preaching to you. So embarrassed. I just want to crawl up a chair and just shut up. I'm serious. So embarrassed. Just thank you, Lord, help me. I don't know if I can. Just the thought of having to come back and face you. There have been times that I felt so. Why? Just, I want to be an encouragement. Temperance. Self-control. David said in Psalm 19:13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. That is, arrogant sins of pride. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression or from much transgression. Keep me. Lord, I don't want to embarrass you. Lord, I don't want to be disrespectful to you. This is serious. Number four. Here's another evidence of light, precious. Patience. Patience. That is an abiding under that only grows in trial. It's an abiding under, knowing that Almighty God, who has by His gracious hand of good providence sent that lot to me and has kept me under His dominion, under His control, under His wing, patience. James 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith evidences that God's kept you. That's what it is. Patience. Godliness. Respectful devoutness. Acts that are actually performed by the new creature. You do that which is your heart to do. Why do I do things for Glenda? Why do I do anything? Why do I do anything respectful to her? I love her. I just don't want to be. My heart toward my wife is a picture of the heart that a believer has toward her husband. Brotherly kindness. Fraternal affection. We've got a lot of associates in this world. But I tell you this, a believer to another believer is a precious thing. Why? There's like precious faith there. There's fellowship there. There's a bond there. There's an everlasting love that's been shown there. Charity. Love. That word that identifies a believer with the Lord Jesus Christ in Christ's character. I want you to turn to 1 John and we'll wrap this up. 1 John 4, 7 to 10. 1 John 4, 7 to 10. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. We are of God. Therefore, speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For God is love. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here is the way that love is manifested. This is love. This is love. God is love. This is love. God gave His only begotten Son. Now, if you want to know, you talk about love. Here is the sum of love. Here's the evidence of the sum of love. God is love. God gave His only begotten Son. He had a people. God gave them. Now the Spirit of God, who has quickened us by grace, has given us faith to believe that. And we trust God's Word being so, that the Lord Jesus Christ has been sent to redeem us. Life imparted manifests itself toward Almighty God and to God's people by love. That which He did for us is manifested in us. We love Him. We love His Christ. We love His gospel. We love His people. We love His praise. We love His glory. We love His honor. His love is the source of our love. His love is the first cause of our love. What is the evidence of God's assurance to His people? What's the evidence of God's assurance to His people that He's shown them mercy? They believe God. Faith. What is the evidence that is manifested through God's people? I cannot see. I cannot see faith in you. Faith is your evidence, Bob. Faith is evidence to you. You believe God. I can't see your faith, but I can see the effects of it. The effects of it is good works. What are those good works? That's what we just read. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Faith is the evidence to you. These works are the evidences to the others. James says, you talk about faith without works. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. What are they? There they are, right there. Look at verse 8. But if these things be in you, these things that we just read, and they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, no stability, no love for the brethren, no love for Christ, no steadfastness, he that lacks these things, blind, cannot see, far off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I've told you this before. I'll mention it again. When it says he's forgotten, it doesn't mean that he was once purged from his old sins and then he just forgot about it. That's not what it means. It means that there is a spirit of forgetfulness that he ever was purged. The wording there is causes you to think, well, he was purged and he just maybe forgot about it. Just sometimes slipped his mind. Oh no, he never was purged. There is a tonight we're going to do something that the Lord says you do this in remembrance. We have a heart of remembrance. For those that these things are not found in, there is a spirit of forgetfulness. It never was there. It's blind. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do, if these things be performed in, if the Spirit of God has supplied these things to you, if you do these things, you shall never fall. May Almighty God add His blessing and the evidences and the assurances that He gives to His people. I'll ask the men if they'll come forward and we'll have the Lord's table.